Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A report by the United Way, by United for Alice, sponsored by the United Way of San Antonio Bexar County, shows that almost half of all Bexar County households are living with financial hardship. Despite increases in wages for many, most of the common jobs in Texas, residents of Bexar County are making sacrifices every day to make ends meet. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. The United Way points out that these are households earn above the federal poverty level, but are unable to afford the basic cost of living in their country and their county. In other words, they're all on the brink of survival. To tell us more, we're joined by Stephanie Smith, director of United Way of San Antonio Bexar County Strong Individuals and Families Impact Area. And Stephanie Smith, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me more about ALICE, this idea of a person being asset limited. And because it's kind of a weird thing to kind of kick around, asset limited, income constrained, and employed. What does that really boil down to?
So it's really about a language that allows us to better understand our community. So when we look at San Antonio, which is just full of hardworking families and hardworking people, it gives us a language to better understand those in our community who are struggling. So when we look at Bexar County, 15% of our households are living in below the federal poverty level. But another 31%, double that number, are experiencing ALICE, asset limited, income constrained, and employed, which means these are families that are working two and three jobs. They are critical to our economy. They're the retail sales clerks, the wait staff, all those folks that just make our economy go are folks that are just literally living paycheck to paycheck. They make too much to qualify for most federal benefits and are just one car expense repair away from just blowing up a budget.
So they're paycheck to paycheck, and but they don't qualify for something like SNAP benefits?
Correct.
And so this puts them in a very vulnerable state. And how much of Bexar County do you say are people who deal with ALICE?
31%.
31%.
Yes.
And so what's life like for a person in this, you know, what kind of sacrifices or choices, hard choices, or do they deal with at the kitchen table? What do they deal with?
Well, they're making decisions on if there's something, a bill that's come up. What do we pay? What do we delay paying? Which just can compound additional fees and expenses, which is already a struggle. We know that the vast majority don't have any kind of emergency savings at all in case of emergency. That's just not feasible. When we start looking at families with children that are needing childcare, and childcare is a really high cost, they're having to make decisions based on what can they afford with childcare as opposed to being able to choose a quality early childhood program for their children. And for some families who have children, is going to work going to make enough to even cover the cost of childcare? So they are making these choices all the time, basically based on what they can afford and not able to make those choices based on their values.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Do you have to deal with ALICE? Do you feel you are asset limited, income constrained, and employed and living paycheck to paycheck, and you're finding that in the current economy, you're just struggling to get by? So, Stephanie Smith, as we talk about the current economy, of course, we have seen inflation or rising prices, and that could be from corporate greed or for lots of reasons, but prices have been going up. And then we're now seeing the numbers coming from the federal government and Federal Reserve that inflation is now being leveled off, but still people are still trying to not able to get ahead? Is that what they're dealing?
Absolutely. So what we know is post-pandemic, there was an increase in wages that happened across our community after years of being stagnant. And so while those wage increases happened, the rise in inflation those wage increases was not able to keep up with the increasing inflation that folks are dealing with.
And, you know, we're hearing about the rising rents, that the cost of housing, shelter. We know that you have to have shelter. How much is the rising cost of housing a driver of people who are struggling?
It's a huge driver. You know, when we look at kind of predicting, people should be spending about a third of their budgets on housing costs, and that's not the case. That's not happening here anymore. With just the cost, and families are sometimes moving in together and sharing cost. It is a huge burden. It is one of our 211, which is a resource that families can call or individuals can call when they need resources. It's one of the top calls that they receive, is people seeking assistance for housing.
And so you have a survival budget calculator, a tool that people can use to input your household size and see an itemized list of cost and the income needed to see what it takes just to make ends meet. And what do we discover when we start playing around with this survival budget calculator?
So it's pretty shocking when you look at the cost. The way the survival budget is set up is it's based on what are costs in Bexar County specific. And so when you look at the federal poverty level, that's kind of a formula that's shared across the country. So the cost for the federal poverty level is the same in Texas as it is in New York, which we know those costs are different. For ALIS, it's specific to Bexar County. So when we look at the cost of two adults in a home with two children, school age, so you're not even having to cover childcare, just to make ends meet, the family needs to make $69,804 a year, which is $34.90 an hour.
And this is just with one?
Two school age, so they're in school. Now, if we talk with families that have children that are in childcare, two adults, two children in childcare, the cost just to make ends meet, the budget that a family would need to make is $80,988.
And that's not putting money away for savings or with retirement or
that is just making bare bones budget.
So that sounds like a lot. I mean, it's just I'm trying to wrap my head around that, you know. So I got to take this break coming up, but I want to break that down a little bit and see what is inside this survival budget calculator, and also talk about how it's difficult for people who live with abundance to understand what it's like for people who don't have that in their life. So we're going to take this break, and our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from the community. What do you see? How do you feel about the economy right now? And what do you think should be done about it? Give us a call. And how can we help each other? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we will be back in a minute.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A report by the United Way of San Antonio Bexar County shows that almost half of all Bexar County households are living with financial hardship, and that report is called ALICE, which means Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. These are people who are hardworking. They go out there and they put in their 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours every day doing their work, but yet they're not making enough money in order to cover the bills. Why is this happening? What can we done about it? We're joined by Stephanie Smith, the director of United Ways of San Antonio Bexar County Strong Individuals and Families Impact Area. You can call in 833-877-8255, and let's go to a caller. We have Timothy, and Timothy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, David. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to make the point that, you know, we don't live in a meritocratic society anymore. Like, wages do not go far enough. We know that the cost of food and the cost of housing are artificially inflated for purely greed reasons. And, you know, I'm a 31-year-old man. I have been struggling my entire adult life to make ends meet. If I did not live with my parents right now, if they didn't own a home, I would be homeless. Like, I work part-time. Even when I worked full-time, the money has never gone far enough. It's just, we need higher wages.
All right, Timothy, thank you for that. We appreciate you calling in. Stephanie Smith, so what about the wage part of the equation?
So one of the things that I think that is important about this ALIS data is we are going around the community and sharing the ALIS data. First of all, to understand our community, understand the struggles of our community, and also just to share with the business community as well to understand what are the struggles that our residents are facing, and how can we have empathy for each other, how can we support each other better, and how can we create opportunities so that folks can earn more. So for us, United Way invests in organizations. We know that if we can have opportunities for folks to increase their earning potential, so how can we invest in organizations doing workforce development, certifications, and trainings so that folks are able to increase their earning potential in some of the high-need jobs that are coming within our economy. The thing about that is for folks who are working 2 and 3 jobs, it's essential that those trainings and opportunities are also available in non-traditional times, because if folks are working, taking care of their family, to take time off to get those credentials and those opportunities, we've got to work with them as well.
Well, what about increasing the minimum wage, a federal increase in the minimum wage? Of course, there's the argument that if you increase the minimum wage, then there will be fewer jobs. I don't know if that's true or not, because if you put more money in people's pocket, they will spend that money, and then that will, create more demand for producers to produce. So, but, you know, is that something that United Way has as a view on?
Not at this point, but what I will tell you is that we have a view that we want our families to earn family-sustaining wages. We want families to be able to make enough money to support their families and not have to work 2 and 3 jobs, because they also, when they are working 2 and 3 jobs, are sacrificing time with their families. They're not able to do as much with their children or their families that they'd like to. It's not that they don't want to. They'd love to. It's just they're in a situation that doesn't even allow them to do that.
Let's go to another caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. Do you see people around you, maybe your own family, struggling to get through in this economy? Let's go to Robert. And Robert, you're on the air.
Yes. What you're trying to do is solve a national problem in San Antonio. The problem of inflation is that the jerks in Washington, and that jerk, they're really malicious, are sending much of our wealth to foreign countries and getting nothing in return. We're the greatest contributor to the United Nations. We're the almost the greatest contributor to this NATO. We contribute, we send money all over. We send money to Ukraine.
Okay. Well, Robert, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. So do you see that as the problem, that the what Robert's saying, you know, it's obviously he's looking at a much wider scope, but is this a national problem that you're trying to fix locally?
Yeah, I think so. This ALIS data that we have that's specific to Bexar County, it's actually being utilized across the country and I believe it's 29 states that have ALIS data for their states as well as their communities. So it is a conversation that's happening across the country, because people across our country are struggling.
But people have said that Bexar County is unique in many ways. We're one of the largest metro areas in the country. For a long time, this has been considered to be a low cost of living area. And I just don't think that's true anymore. The cost of living in Bexar County aren't that much lower than living in some place like Austin, you know, which we've seen is an expensive place to live. Do you think that Bexar County has a lower cost of living significantly than other metro areas?
I think I can't speak to what those costs are in Austin because I really haven't taken a look at that. But I will tell you, when we look at the cost over the last 5 years and how they've gone up for our families, it is definitely a huge concern, which is why we want to have this conversation. We want to bring to the forefront of our community to understand those that are experiencing ALIS, that drive who we are as a community. These are hardworking, amazing members of our community that feel unseen and not
appreciated.
Not appreciated, absolutely. But we wouldn't have the economy that we do and the workforce that we have in this and the tourist industry that we have if it were not for this workforce.
The number is 833-877-8255 if you want to weigh in on how San Antonio families are struggling in the economy. Let's go to Rodrigo. Rodrigo, you're on the air.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I love that y'all bringing this topic up for people that are working and working families. There's so many folks out there that make a certain threshold on income and then get knocked out of being able to get any assistance. Maybe y'all could talk about that because it's somewhat frustrating sometimes for folks when they are working hard, but then they don't qualify for certain assistance, whether it be daycare, whether it be food assistance and so forth. Meanwhile, there's other folks that don't work, and I'm not bemoaning them. I know people don't work for various reasons, so I'm not out here like, you know, saying like there's a limited pot or whatnot, trying to get mad at those folks. But it is frustrating for folks that are working out there. I know I have some friends that are struggling, going paycheck to paycheck, and their constant gripe, you know, even though I'm against it, is that, well, I'm over here working so hard, but then Joe and Joe isn't working as hard, and look at him, he's getting all these benefits. I think that's a myth, but I'm not too well informed about that. Maybe y'all can speak about that and see, you know, what are the challenges there.
All right, Rodrigo, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. So, Stephanie Smith, what about Rodrigo's his observations?
So I think it's a real thing. I think one of the things that we found successful in working with families and individuals is using a tool generation approach where we've got organizations that are working not only with the adults but also with the children. And one of the things that often will happen with that as people are trying to increase their earning potential, if they've received benefits and they begin to increase their earnings, there's a thing called a benefit cliff where people receiving benefits and they have to weigh, as I'm increasing my revenue, my income with this this increased education and my certifications, what does that benefits cliff cost? And I think that's often something that people are dealing with. What I know for individuals who are receiving the benefits, for example, a family of four that is in 100% federal poverty, their income is $27,750 for a family of four, compared to the 69,000 of those in ALIS. So for those individuals, and oftentimes they're folks with children, they're having to decide, do I go to work? Can I even afford childcare? They're having to make those decisions from the get-go.
A lot of people cannot work because of medical problems, and that's something that needs to be considered as well, or they're taking care of a loved one. There's a lot of reasons why people are unable to join the employment. But here's an email I just got from Jennifer. She says, we fell into this trap basically all the years that we were raising our kids from 1988 through the school years. Even back then, we were barely made it paycheck to paycheck. And I see that people are having it worse now. Is it true that it is much worse now than it was, say, 10, 20 years ago?
I think it probably is. I think childcare costs are definitely higher. As people are raising families.
Well, the rent is.
Absolutely. Food cost, rent, all the different expenses. We have, you know, technology, transportation, just the transportation costs. If we've got families that might have one vehicle, so they're trying to navigate getting to work, picking children up, all of the details that go with just managing a family is difficult for folks.
And then there's people who rack up debt trying to survive. Sometimes you got to put the groceries on a credit card or do things in order to take out a payday loan or something. And now you're paying interest, and that also takes away from your how much you make.
It compounds the stress. It compounds. And what we know, too, is the stress of the financial strain is a stress on mental health as well. So it just compounds the struggles for families.
So just talking about this, raising awareness that we have many, many families, about half, according to your report, 46%. in Bexar County, are struggling, mm-hmm. and making tough choices, mm-hmm. falling behind, looking to get ahead. And you can only work so many hours until, you know, you just can't anymore. You have to rest. So, you know, talking about it, what good is that?
I think part of it is bringing it to the forefront, letting people know we see you, we know you struggle. And then what can we as a community do to come together?
What can we do?
Well, I think there's opportunities. How can we create opportunities for folks to increase their earning where they can not have to work three jobs, where they could have a certification? I just went to a graduation with some individuals who have gone through a workforce training, trying to get on their feet, some getting GED so that they could then move on, some getting their CDLs to be truck drivers, and are able to pay and support their families for the first time just working one job.
But the problem is you don't get a second bounce. If you make a mistake, if something happens to you, you get a bad break, a car breaks down, or your body, you get sick. Not a lot of support there. Not a social safety net, is there?
Not as strong as we'd like to see. One of the things that we have at 211 is at United Way is 211, a resource that folks could call when they're feeling like that safety net. They need to find what safety net's available. 211 is 24/7, 365 days a year that folks could call for resources. Whatever's happening in that time frame as they're struggling.
So I'm about to get evicted. Few hundred dollars short trying to keep myself from being evicted or keep my lights on. That's happening a lot right now. Mm-hmm. I call 211 and what happens?
They'll actually connect you directly to organizations that have the resources to be able to do applications to cover those costs that they need.
And how hard is that?
To be honest, I'm not in that particular
okay.
area, but what I see and I've walked through as their people are calling, they're literally connecting them directly from that call so that they can get on the call with the partner agencies to do that as quickly. And because what they'll do is they'll share how, do we have a disconnect notice? What's going on with the family so that they can get them to the resources as quickly as possible? Because we know oftentimes time is of the essence for them.
And so this is something that's being orchestrated by the United Way of San Antonio Bexar County. You're getting ready to launch your new fundraising effort that's coming up in about a week or two. So this is a critical time to help you out, to help others.
Absolutely. We'd run the campaign every year to raise funds to support the work that these organizations are doing with families, as well as to support the organizations that are providing the safety net services and those resources for those that are in a critical crisis that need that assistance right away.
So if people want to find out more about Alice and also find out about this Bexar County Survival Budget Calculator, do they go to your website?
Go to our website at uwsatx.org.
One more time, slower.
Sorry, uwsatx.org.
Okay, and there's more information there. Take a look at that budget calculator. See, it's shocking to see, you know, how much money people need to make in order to just get by in Bexar County under the current economy. Those of us with some abundance, you know, we forget what it's like. And, you know, we need to be woken up every once in a while. Then we need to figure out how to help each other out. I want to thank you so much, Stephanie Smith, Director of United Way of San Antonio Bexar County, Strong Individuals and Families Impact Area. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much.
And the source continues. After this break, we're going to be talking about the power of charisma on the global stage. Stay with us.